Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. Party Friday here at the Chuck and Julie Show, the truth straight up with Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden. The show brought to you today, as always, by AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great website for conservative voices, along with Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Now, Chuck, as you notice, is not here right now. That's because he and the Rebel Alliance are about to get in the car and head down to Pueblo. There is a big state party executive committee, a committee meeting going on in Pueblo over the weekend. And one of the things they're going to be voting on is whether they should opt out. Yes, they should, of the open primary and go ahead and have Republicans take control of the Republican primary rather than handing it over to the Democrats and the Democrat agenda. Going to be a big vote. I've been watching them, Chuck, and the band of rebels started with just a small group of them, Ben, Peg, Anil, Joe, kind of traveling the state throughout the summer, talking to people about this, explaining that the open primary, the way it's set up now, allows Democrat dark money to flood into the Republican primaries, making sure essentially that fake Republicans get elected. So no matter who runs, the Democrats end up winning. And these fake Republicans, we saw this in the last election, tend to vote almost exclusively with the Democrats, not conservatives. That's why the Democrats pushed the open primary. Chuck and this band started a small group of people, said, hey, what the heck? We need to change the rules back to the way they were before, back to the way we did it for decades in Colorado, back to the time when Republicans actually won elections, particularly statewide elections. So they have pushed it, and it's going to be one of the many things the state Republican Party is going to be voting on. Surprisingly, it has become really close. I think when they started out, this was just, you know, hey, look, we're just doing this to make a point. We're trying to make an argument. We're trying to, get folks to wake up to the reality of what's going on. But it now looks as if there is a really good chance that they're going to win. One other thing I think that they're going to win about, the way that the Democrats set the rules up for Republican primaries, keep in mind, this is Democrats establishing the rules for Republican primaries, is that in order to opt out of this, they have to have 75% of the people vote yes. Now, there's roughly 500 members on this state central committee, and it has to be not just 75% of the people who are there, but 75% of the total group, right? And which never happens. They never have that many people at all of it. So essentially, they created what we believe is an unconstitutional standard. So they might, what they want to do also is to file a lawsuit against it. With John Eastman, he was one of Trump's lawyers, has his own lawsuit issues going on, and Randy Corcoran have agreed to take that on. So a lot going on. They're heading down to Pueblo. Dave Williams has just been a hero in all of that. State Representative Dave Williams has been helping organize things. Randy Corcoran has been great. A lot of people involved in this. And what Chuck and the group found as they went on down, as they started talking to more and more people, is that it's an issue that's very much in the weeds, okay, but it is a crucial issue. And they came up against surprising opposition from the establishment rhinos, and I'm just going to go ahead and call them swinos, in the Republican Party. And Hugo Chavez Rey, the leader of the Colorado Hispanic Republican Party, had a great thing on Facebook. If you go to Facebook, you can find it, where basically he said, follow the money. We had Charles Hegarty on the other day, and he was explaining too how Catherine Murdoch from the Democrat side pours millions of dollars, and not just into Colorado, but of her money, and she's a Democrat, to influence Republican elections. And it's all laundered back and forth, and it's dark money, but when you trace it back far enough, you can see that. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. Obviously, we'll have an update with you Monday. As soon as Chuck gets in the car with getaway driver Ben Nicholas, we'll give you an update there. And let me see, people are already chiming in. Dr. Donna too. Yeah, Dr. Donna says, I support closing the primary back to where it used to be. By the way, does anybody want me to look for URLs associated with the articles associated with supporting the closing and specifically fronting out the those providing dark money and those receiving it? You know, yes, Dr. Donna, I would ask you to do that. I know that mycoloradogop.org, which is one of the things Peg Cage has, is sort of a catch-all for that kind of thing. But there is also some, and we had them on our show, those guys who did the deep analysis of tracing the money. If you can find, was it in freestate.com, I think? But anyway, if you find that, go ahead and post it. So we're going to be talking about that, obviously. We're going to also be talking about the border crisis. I mean, we thought it was a border crisis before. Now it's even more of a border crisis. What else going on? Oh, the FDA. The FDA. I remember Joe Biden says starting, what, Monday, I guess we're all supposed to be getting booster shots every couple of weeks because the vaccine, it works. Trust me, it works. Trust me, it works. And you can keep your doctor, by the way, except for you have to get a booster shot every few weeks. Well, the FDA voted essentially overwhelmingly today to say, no, we don't think we need to do a lot more research. We need to get a lot more information before we start recommending booster shots to everybody. So we'll see what happens with that. But I have a feeling the Biden administration, how do you go ahead and start demanding booster shots when, you know, your own FDA is saying, no, 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 booster shots, no, no, don't, we're not saying that, not saying that. So the whole thing was ridiculous. Also, the Biden administration, remember how Joe Biden said he was going to punish those terrorists and the ISIS guys over there in Afghanistan for the bomb, and he was going to take them from the other end of the world, et cetera, et cetera. And then we had that attack where we used a drone to shoot a missile at a car filled with ISIS terrorists. And there was such a horrible thing. They were on their way to the airport and, you know, there was a secondary explosion. Well, there have been reports coming out ever since then that actually there were no ISIS terrorists in it. Instead, it was an aid worker, somebody going to help the people at the airport. And those were not explosives in the car. Those were bottles of water. And also in the car with him was another adult and seven children. And that's who Joe Biden shot and killed. Well, the Pentagon today admitted that. The Pentagon held a news conference. And get this, they are offering their sincere apologies. They're offering their sincere apologies for killing 10 people, seven of them children. I mean, that's just the Democrats and their need for optics. And as Rand Paul said, isn't that something you should have checked before you shot a missile at them? They just wanted to be able to carry it out. They lied to us from the beginning saying, oh, there was a terrorist. We got the terrorist. Then after that, when there were questions about it, they said, oh no, there was a secondary explosion proving that there were missiles and bombs or other bombs in the car. Well, it turned out that was not the case. There was no secondary explosion. People on the ground there on the scene said, hey, we looked at it. No secondary explosion there. But the Pentagon fined today forced because of social media and some of the reporters on the ground there who were doing a good job basically said, yes, we acknowledge it and we offer our sincere apologies. And yeah, Dr. Donna, they lied. They did indeed. So we're going to talk about all of that. And then at 3:30, a GOP Senate candidate wants to challenge Michael Bennett. Julie Henry is coming on the show too. So we'll get one of the things they like to do here is introduce you to candidates because it's kind of hard, I think, for a lot of them to get on the mainstream, maybe more corporate media because they just don't cover it very much. So we're going to introduce you to her too. In the meantime, though, while we're waiting for Chuck to call in, I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on in Pueblo, because I think it's not just happening in Pueblo. It's not just happening in Colorado, but the grassroots movement, the people, the Republicans, the basic, you know, voters are sick and tired of the establishment, whether it's an establishment Democrat, whether it's establishment Republican, and they're taking back the party and they are running scared about that. And I want to give you a few examples and also say, if you're on Zoom and you want to go ahead and weigh in, just unmute yourself or pop in on the microphone, it'll bring you up. And if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, and we'll talk about it. What I was talking about is the fact that the left is freaking out about the fact that the grassroots Republicans are starting to take over the party or to take back the party. And the Slate article, they made it sound like this giant conspiracy. These guys are watching too much of their own QAnon. They made it sound like this giant conspiracy theory saying Steve Bannon is encouraging these grassroots Republicans. They didn't call them grassroots. They call them Trump supporters, extreme Trump supporters, to run for obscure offices that no one ever heard of, like precinct party chairperson. The way the party works, most and in other states they may call it other things, but basically a lot of the politics starts at the very hyper local, frankly the neighborhood level, right? And you elect your precinct party person there, and then they go along and they help with elections. And they said they're doing things like calling their neighbors and they're getting the word out and they're organizing. It's like, yeah, they are. As I said, we are doing that because we've seen what happens when we don't pay enough attention and we leave it to the elites of the party, our betters, you know, who tell us to wear masks while they party without, who tell us to get vaccinations while they don't, all of that stuff. And they're, you know, trying to say, Steve Bannon, it's alarming. Oh my God, Steve Bannon is telling all these people to do this crazy stuff. And we are. We had Ted Trimpa on our show, and I thought this was interesting. When we were, two things he said that I think indicate that they are, I don't know if I'd say worried. I don't know if they'd reached the worried level yet, but alarmed. When we asked him about this whole opt-out thing, he laughed and he said, oh yeah, that would be the best thing. Keep doing that. Do that, do that. That would be a gift to us. If and he's saying that, obviously, just to kind of egg us on, and I just think it's fair to say that was not sincere. They are worried about the Republicans taking back their primary. If the Republicans take back their primary, that makes it much more difficult for the Democrats to meddle in it, and that's a key part of their strategy. The other thing he said that was interesting, because see, this is what the Republicans are doing, is they're changing the rules. Now, and Ted said, you can't keep changing the rules. And that's where I laughed and said, you're the ones who changed the rules. You've been changing the rules in Colorado, the election rules, forever. Colorado has been the model for the rest of the country. You use COVID to change the rules, to change the rules in a way that your average American doesn't really like. They changed the rules to have all mail ballots, right? The average American, I think, probably isn't opposed to mail ballots, but they are opposed, when you explain to them what's going on, to the ballot muling and the massive ballot harvesting. So they don't want to talk about changing those rules. The average American is opposed to not having to be a registered voter in order to vote, let alone be a citizen. The average voter thinks it's a good idea to have to show an identification, to show when you vote that you are who you say you are. Now, the Democrats in recent years have changed all of those rules. What Republicans need to do is change the rules, too. Why do we go along with the Democrats said we had to have all mail ballots? The Democrats said that we have to let non-citizens vote. The Democrats said that we don't have to verify whether somebody's, that the signature is the person who the ballot was mailed to. Why are we going along with this? And this is what Chuck and the Rebel Alliance are trying to do. They're trying to start slowly but surely, same way the Democrats did, changing the rules back to restore election integrity. And by election integrity, I'm not talking Jim Crow stuff, that's not racist, white supremacist. I'm saying that you have to be a registered voter to vote. It's not hard in this day and age, that you have to vote only once in the election, and that you have to sign it or show some sort of identification that you are who you say you are, that this is your ballot and that you signed it. This isn't crazy stuff. This is the way it's been for years. The Democrats want us to forget that. And this, I submit to you, is why they're freaking out. They're freaking out because Republicans are no longer relying on, and I'm sorry, but the Mitt Romneys, the Mitch McConnells, and frankly, sometimes even the Lindsey Grahams to sort of solve things for us. We're not relying on the coal whists of the party. We're not relying on the Bob Beaupres and the Bill Owens here in Colorado. We're relying on ourselves. And we're saying, you know what? If you aren't going to do it right, then we'll go ahead and we'll do it. And when you start talking to ordinary Republicans, they're like, well, yeah, that makes sense, right? That's a good idea. So that's what's going on here. And they are worried about that. Because rather than, and I think Chuck has been right on this, rather than trying to fight the fight on their turf, right? And in their infrastructure, they changed the election rules to a system that fit their infrastructure, their funding, their everything. They switched it to benefit them. Rather than trying to struggle uphill against that, I think the Republicans are like, I know, which is brilliant of us. let's go ahead and change the rules. I'm going to say back, but don't say that if you don't want to. So that's just change of rules. Now, of course, the Democrats jump up and down and say, Jim Crow, racist, racist, to require someone to show an ID, somehow or another, that's white supremacy. But to tell somebody, I was reading a tweet from our friend Arash, Ted's partner, by the way, who was in New York City, and he was trying to go to a restaurant inside a department store and had to show proof of vaccination passport, right? Had to show proof of a vaccine. So somehow that's not racist or white supremacist. That's not a problem at all. But having to show that you are who you say you are and that you are a registered voter, that's racist? No. And Republicans aren't even believing that anymore. And then hear from Dr. And there are those who oppose closing the primary. That's exactly, Dr. Donna. Their rhetoric mimics that of the Democrats. And that's because they're the ones who stand to gain out of it, right? They're the ones, the establishment Republicans, who are making money. The consultants make money. I mean, when Catherine Murdoch funnels millions of dollars into Colorado Republican primary races, where do you think that money goes, right? That money goes to the consultants, the Republican consultants, the Greg Brophys, the Frank McNulty's, the Josh Penry's. Those people all financially benefit from them. Now, I don't blame them for financially benefiting. But what I do hold them accountable for is be honest about it. Just say, hey, look, this has been extremely lucrative for me. Therefore, I'm not in favor of changing it. Don't try to tell us that somehow this is racist and somehow all of us Trump supporters, of which there are way more of than there are of you, by the way, that somehow this is bad that we're doing this. That's a thing. And so we're just simply doing it. And that's why you're starting to see a lot of these organizations, you know, bashing Steve Bannon and coming out against Chuck and the Rebel Alliance and all these columns. I mean, it kind of strikes me as odd. Dave Williams was telling us earlier today that Channel 7 was trying to do a story about this, right? And I got to tell you, I worked with TV news, and you have about a minute 30, maybe, to explain a story. This is an extremely complicated story. I'm almost going to guarantee you that if you watch the Channel 7 story, there is a significant chance that you'll watch it and you'll go, what? Right? And a significant chance that it's going to have some kind of establishment slant saying something along the lines of, oh, Republicans want to get rid of the primary. They don't want to have a primary. They don't want unaffiliated voters to vote. That's what it's going to say. And that's not the reality. The reality is any unaffiliated voter can vote in our primary. Anyone can. They just have to affiliate to be a Republican. That's not a lot to ask. I think it's as Randy Corcoran says, the way we're doing it now, it's like allowing in the Super Bowl, the starting quarterback for the other team to plan your game, to pick your team members, right? Who would do that? It's ridiculous. So that's what we're doing is going back. And this is from Charlene, and the red flag Brocklers pretend that they don't know any. Oh, I have to address that, Charlene. You're absolutely right. What we're talking about is George Brockler and Randy Corcoran had a debate on the Stephen Tubbs show, right? And to prove my point, Stephen, and I like Stephen, but opened up saying, well, now we're having a debate about why the Republicans want to not hold any more primaries. And it's like, no. And Randy, to his credit, said, no, Stephen, that's not what it's about. What we're wanting to get rid of is allowing Democrats to vote in our primaries, right? You have to be a Republican vote in the primary. But anyway, George Brockler, was saying, well, do you have any proof, any evidence that there's dark money coming in? And it's like, give me a break, George. There's only been 8 million articles, comments, Facebook posts, things written about that. And I thought, again, you got to look kind of underneath the surface. The thing is, when you look at that, you're like, why is George Brockler who I like and is usually a pretty straightforward guy? Why is George Brockler being so disingenuous, right? Why is he trying to pretend that's not true? Now, Randy, to his credit, had his wife in an ambulance at that time. Randy had his, and she's okay, but he had a family emergency. What I kind of wish Randy had said there was, you know what, George, if I can show you the proof, does that mean you'll support the opt-out, right? Because that's what George was implying. He's like trying to imply that Randy's lying, but not at all. And Dr. Donna here for the folks has posted, and I'm going to read it out loud in case people don't have it, freestatecolorado.com. It's freestatecolorado.com. And Carl Honegger, we had him on the show. He's the guy. You want to read that column because it outlines the dark money. You know, hey, Thomas, Chuck should have called in by now. hopefully they didn't stop at Lodo's on the way. Can we maybe go ahead and give Chuck a call and see if we can get him on? And Charlene is right. Pretend naivety does not look good on George Brockler. But again, that's how we know we've got him, right? You've got all of these left-wing groups complaining about Republicans, the grassroots Trump supporters are trying to take control of the elections. The problem with that, because what you're trying to tell me that progressive Democrats haven't tried to take control of the election? Give me a break, right? And so when they complain, it's fine when they do it, but when you try to do it, then you're somehow some right-wing extremist. Oh, which leads me to another thing I just want to comment on. And we'll get to the border stuff here after we get Chuck. But the other thing I wanted to comment on was this the insurrection 2.0 that theoretically is going on in Washington, D.C. That's another thing, right? The only people talking about this is CNN and the left-wing media are talking about how it's going to be so awful, so horrible that we're going to have this other insurrection going on in Washington, D.C. this weekend, just like the one on January 6th. Well, the Proud Boys, I know, have said that they are not the ones who were involved in that. I think it's just going to all be FBI agents. Oh, we've got Chuck. Hey, Chuck. Chuck?
Hi, Julie. I am not yet on the road with my merry band because our merry band, Anil, has made us a little late. But I'm sitting on our front porch, so I'll still give you a report.
You could have come down here. I was
be by any second. But laid plans of mice and men are off go astray.
I was afraid you had stopped by Lodo's on your way there.
That would have been a better use of my time.
I know you've been on the phone constantly here the past few days. Why don't you kind of give folks a sense of what's going on? And I've been kind of talking, Chuck, as you and I talked before I came down here, about how worried I think the establishment folks on the Republican side and the Democrats really are about, holy cow, Republican grassroots taking over their own elections.
Yeah, no, they're terrified. I was just looking on my phone on Colorado Polls, which is run by Soros and the Democratic Party, constantly telling the Republicans that you'd be committing suicide by doing this and quoting Dick Wadhams and everything else. So when Colorado Polls is quoting Dick Wadhams and constantly saying it's a terrible, just like Ted Trimpa told us, right?
Right.
It's a great idea. When the Democrats say this is the worst idea ever, we've got your best interests at heart,
Right.
It's amazing stuff. So we're heading down there. We're going to see how it goes. We've shaken up the entire state. I mean, they brought out every person they possibly could to try to squash us, from the establishment to the Denver Post to, who knows, Colorado Polls. So we got to be doing something right. So the merry band of warriors.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what do you make of, Charlene had commented about how during the debate with Randy Corcoran on Stephen's show, George Brockler pretending like he had no idea. There's certainly no evidence of dark money coming into the Republican race. I mean, which, George Brockler.
I wish Randy had just delivered him a haymaker saying it's in the Colorado Sun. It's in the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle. It's in all kinds of articles.
Well, do you believe
don't
for
know
a second?
That, why are you pining? Why are you debating if you're that ignorant on the crucial reason, one of the crucial reasons for the opt-out?
Well, I don't believe for a second that George Brockler didn't know, right? I believe that George Brockler was just taking a risk there and just going ahead and saying that. I mean, I can't for a second believe a guy as prepared as George Brockler is unaware of dark money coming into Colorado politics. You'd think George would
maybe he just didn't think Randy'd be ready for that kind of fake. Unexpected punch from left field. He, we're kind of like, the sun? We have a sun? I didn't know there was a sun. Where do you see the sun?
I can't see it because it's night, you know? What about this, though, too? I was saying one of the things, and we're seeing this all over, because this, again, it's a pretty obscure, when you get right down to it, it's kind of an But I think what's scaring more, both the elite and everybody else, what's scaring them even more is the fact that Republicans are starting to take control, or to try to take control of the party back there.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's what they're more, because absolutely. If you're a Democrat, whether you're dealing with, you know, Dick Wadhams or Bill Owens or Bob O'Pry, it doesn't make a heck of a lot of difference, right? But if you've got to deal with Patrick Neville, with Dave Williams, that's the kind of thing that matters. And I think what do you think?
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, there's no greater thing than let's say communist China telling to the U.S., I think it'd be better if you cut your military budget by 2/3. And we all get along much better then. It's so obvious that this is a thing that the grassroots needs to do and wants to do. And we'll see how it all works out down there. But it's going to be a real Donnybrook.
Well, and I know you guys are going to be there. Randy does a great job on social media. You'll be kind of, so if folks want to keep up, I mean, it's at Chuck and Julie One. I think everybody knows how to get hold of Randy Corcoran on Twitter. We'll be doing, you won't be doing live stuff because you're going to be actually in the meeting, but we'll be letting people know how it goes.
Screaming and yelling and fighting away.
Right, kind of walk folks through.
But, Monday, we'll give a blow by blow. Maybe we'll have Ben or Neil or some of the other.
When do you think
warriors on this thing?
Just a couple questions and I'll let you go because I know you've got to get on the road. But talk about the agenda. When should people kind of look for perhaps some kind of decision?
Well, what they did is they tried to transform it so the big votes come at the very end and lots of boring stuff, hoping people will leave. But we'll try to move it up so it's more upfront.
But either way, we should know by the end of tomorrow, right? It's only a 1-day meeting, right?
Oh, yeah. You'll know by 1 or 2 o'clock, please.
All right. Well, listen, Chuck, thank you. I told you earlier, I'm proud of you guys for all the work that you've done on this. Yeah. So have fun.
Yeah. Well, all right. Thanks.
All right. Bye. And Dr. Donna, this is to the other article is, as I said before, it's at mycoloradogop.org. One other thing, we're hoping to get Julie Henry on. She should come on in here any minute, but I wanted to talk a little bit about this border crisis. Because, I mean, if we thought there was a border crisis before, there really is a border crisis. Now, we're going to play a video here in a second from the Center for Immigration Studies. What happened was recently, Joe Biden said, we're not going to deport Haitians anymore. So under the bridge at the Rio Grande by Del Rio, Texas, which is a border crossing, there had been about 700 people, which is still too many, because it takes the customs people, the border people, a little while to process these people. But that was, bad as that was, it was somewhat manageable, at least. But what happened is Joe Biden said that we're not going to deport Haitians anymore. So literally in a matter of days, the number of people under that bridge swelled to 1,000, 4,000, 10,000. When I looked right before the show, it was up to 12,500 people. What this is, they're not in, these aren't the people who are even in the cages, right? These are people who essentially have created what is like an encampment, a homeless encampment, without food, without sanitation, without any kind of protection. And from what we gather, the Border Patrol people have been told to stand down. What they do is they watch literally thousands of people walking across the river, and they hand them these little coupons or tickets that say, okay, yeah, I mean, it's like the movie Beetlejuice, right? It's like your number 6,233,000. And when we call your number, then you can come in and we'll process you. I'm just saying, how long is it before they just say, screw this, and they just come into the country? But Thomas, if we could play the border crisis video, because I think people need to see exactly what this looks like.
And there are some Cubans among them. Of course, can't tell exactly where everybody's from, but I did stop and talk to quite a few of them, and they're all from coming out of Chile or Brazil, where they've been living for years. Don't let anybody tell you that these people are coming from Haiti. They were living comfortably and securely in Chile and Brazil, and they heard the border was open, and they rushed for it. And there are just thousands of pouring over. Nobody knows what to do with them. They're behind a thin chain-link fence. There's hardly anybody to guard them. Border Patrol is thin. They have to get their own food, so they let them open a commercial corridor between Mexico and this camp where they come and go as they will to get food and water purchases on the other side. It is a filthy mess in there. There are mounds of trash. I saw that they did bring in some porta potties. I don't think it's enough. The place is just a hazard. And there's nothing that the Biden administration has said about this. They won't acknowledge it.
It is not nice. It is not humane. It's not any of those things. If you want to weigh in, again, you can unmute yourself on Zoom or call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. I have a couple of questions and a couple of thoughts. And initially, he answered one of them, like, how are these people getting there from Haiti so quick? Okay, I get that they are actually not from in Haiti right now. They're living in other portions of South and Central America. But my other question is this. Okay, so in a matter of days, how'd they get from Brazil and Chile to the Mexican border with the United States in a matter of days? You saw those people and the pictures. They were families, they were kids, they were women, right? How'd they get there? Well, I'm going to speculate here, but I think I'm probably right. I bet there is somehow or another an organized effort to put them on buses and move them there. I mean, these people didn't run to the border. He said, I mean, and that guy was being a little bit disingenuous, I think. And that was Todd Bensman from the Center for Immigration Studies. So there is an orchestrated, systemic effort to get those people to the border to create a border crisis. Here again, Steve Bannon. I got to say, I love Steve Bannon. I know he may have gone got a little bit odd there for a while, but he raised a really good point. He was saying, okay, so this is great. We know we've got this border crisis and we've got the governor of Texas. We've got the lieutenant governor of Texas making a lot of noise about it. But he asked, this is the other question I have. Why, you saw that little thing where they were coming across, right? Why don't they send a bunch of Border Patrol guys there to say, stop, you can't come in? Then the Center for Immigration Studies guy answered, well, because the Biden administration has told them to stand down. And he said, okay, well, why don't you have some Texas law enforcement officers stand there and say, no, you can't come in. Then the immigration guy said, well, you know, it's a jurisdiction issue. And it's like, no, it's not a jurisdiction issue. I'm sure if they wanted to, if the Texas law enforcement officers said, you know, stood there and said, no, you can't come in, turn around, go back, can't come in. Who are they going to, what? Is the Border Patrol going to arrest them? Is Joe Biden going to send the National Guard down and arrest them? Because here's the thing. It is time for more than talking on talk shows. They need to do like Ron DeSantis says, right? He says to Biden, Biden cuts off some of the supplies to these therapies that work effectively again in treating COVID. Biden says, we're not going to send any more to Florida. And he says, fine, I'll just get them directly from the companies that sell it. I mean, that's what we need. No more talk, no more saying, oh, this is a crisis. We know it's a crisis, but it is a crisis that could fundamentally change our country. I mean, there are 10,000 people there right now. You know, the Biden administration, they're not surprised by this. They planned this. As I said, somebody is bringing those people to the border, right? Now, you know, I don't think that they have that many Uber drivers who are loading up cars and these people are just Ubering back and forth from Chile and Brazil to the border. No, there was an organized effort. At some point, and I think it's approaching soon, the Biden administration is going to say, oh my God, we're just overwhelmed. The only humane thing we can do is just release these people. Just let them into the country and we'll put them in buses and we're going to send them, as they are, are, to swing states, to cities that are swing districts. I mean, the Biden administration, I mean, Joe Biden is already back in Delaware doing another vacation. They're not shocked by this. They're not upset by this. They also could care less about the people involved. They don't care at all about any of those people any more than they care about the towns that these people, that this refugee camp, and that's what it is basically you know, the impact it's having on those towns. I was told, I think there's like roughly 30,000 people in Del Rio. So the people in this refugee camp already out, are a third of the number of people in the town. There is no way the town can take care of that. There's no way anyone can take care of that. And that's, I believe, what the Biden administration wants. They want it to be a disaster. They want it to be, I mean, they didn't care that they shot a bunch of kids in Afghanistan. You think they're going to care that, that there might be kids dying, that there might be people who get sick, that there might be crimes being committed? They could care less. This fuels their agenda. And if the governor of Texas, and I just think the law enforcement of Texas, Steve Bannon is right. They need to step up. They can't wait until the Border Patrol says, well, I guess there's nothing we can do, so we're going to let them into the country then. Then that damage is done. I mean, and as we know, cartels, there's sex trafficking, drug trafficking going on there. Who knows who else is coming in? You know, these people, as you can see, they're not carrying little ID cards with them. It has to be stopped, and it has to be more than just talk, which goes back to what I started out saying earlier, that it is time, you know, just like Chuck and the Rebel Alliance says, hey, we're going to actually try to change the rules here. They need to quit sitting around and saying, well, I guess it's not our jurisdiction. Well, if it's not their jurisdiction, then whose is it? I mean, it's their state. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot, I admit, about Governor Abbott, but it seems to me that he's kind of taking a wishy-washy, swampy way out of it by trying to blame the whole thing on Donald Trump. And again, not on Donald Trump, on Joe Biden. Great, we know it's Joe Biden's fault, but that's not going to change. So we need to do something to stop it now. And another guy, Ted Cruz, at least is down there, but I wish Ted Cruz would do a little bit more than just pontificate too. But in the meantime, though, he did have, at least he went down there. We'll give him credit for that. So Thomas, if we could please play the Ted Cruz bite.
Bridge behind me, 10,503 people. This is a crisis that is unfolding. It's a man-made crisis. Just over a week ago, there were fewer than 1,000 people here under the bridge, averaging between 700 and 1,000. Then, on September 8th, the Biden administration made a decision to cancel deportation flights back to Haiti. The vast majority of these illegal immigrants crossing in Del Rio were from Haiti. When they made that decision 8 days ago, 700 to 1,000 people who were here discovered they could stay. They pulled out their cell phones and called their friends. They called their family. And 8 days later, 700 people became 10,500. This is a disaster, and it is a man-made disaster. It is the result of political decisions. And Joe Biden could end this tomorrow by simply following the law and reinstating deportation flights back. When you have open borders, this is what you need. Let me say to the heroes, the men and women of Border Patrol, who are risking their lives trying to do a job that their political superiors won't let them do. We appreciate you. We appreciate your service. This is wrong. This is not humane. This is not compassionate. This is lawless, and it is inviting suffering.
I like Ted Cruz, and I'm glad he went down there. But I think that both parties, the swampy people, are playing sort of a political game of chicken, right? Joe Biden, you know, what, coincidentally, Joe Biden just willy-nilly eliminates deportations to Haiti and magically 10,000 people somehow in 8 days make their way from Brazil and Chile to the border? No. Somebody knew this was going to happen. Somebody had a plan for what to do when it happened. And that plan was to get all of those people into some sort of, I mean, these people are not hitchhiking. Like I said, they're not taking Uber. There's a plan to get them up to the border. And that plan is being executed. Now, Ted, if I can figure it out, I guarantee you Ted Cruz could figure it out. So why isn't somebody, rather than standing there and making a nice videotape, strongly worded, and I support all of that, but rather than that, why isn't he saying, wait, who's funding this? Who's funding getting these people to the border? right? And without, by the way, funding taking care of them once they get there. We need to look into that. We need to, like I said, again, have the Texas authority. And he needs to be saying, I support any Texas law enforcement guy. That's what I want to see Ted Cruz do, is go stand in the middle of that river with waders on with a bunch of Texas law enforcement people and say, can't come across. Sorry. Can't come across, no more. And then turn around and maybe see if we can get some of those other people and send them back rather than giving them the ticket. And you got to ask yourself, why aren't they doing that, right? Again, if Julie Hayden sitting here in Westminster, Colorado can figure it out, why can't they? And the answer is they can. I think that what they want to do, if you're the Biden administration, number one, they want to change this country fundamentally in a number of ways. And they want to use these people in the election system to do that, right? That's why they get so freaked out when grassroots Republicans want to take the party back. Because this is Joe Biden, once again, his polling numbers are down again from last week. So they're down in Afghanistan. Didn't care. They don't care. He's on vacation, right? They're down about the whole COVID vaccine mandate. They're down about the border. The Democrats know this is not popular with the American people. So you got to ask yourself, why don't they care about that? They've got a midterm election coming up. Why don't they care about the fact that they're doing things that are enormously unpopular with the American people? And I submit to you, it's because they know it doesn't matter. As long as they control the election, as long as they count the votes, as long as they control the system that allows all kinds of people to vote in all kinds of ways, they don't have to worry about like what regular voters like us think, because they can outnumber us. Let's see. Okay. And Dr. Donna, I thought the courts upheld Trump's immigration policy. If so, what is this nonsense? No one cares, Dr. Donna. I mean, you know, Joe Biden, they issued the eviction moratorium, right? That was illegal. Didn't care. Issued the vaccine mandate. That was illegal. He didn't care. Then Leo says, then the FAA shut down the drone traffic in the area temporarily so no filming would take place. Yes, exactly. Although it's my understanding what happened was the FAA finally said, okay, but in the meantime, Texas law enforcement people let the Fox News crew go up in their helicopters so they could get the thing. Here from Charlene, when Republicans rail against Cruz, he will have to put words into action. Nothing like facing the truth, Julie. We can't fix it if we can't face it. Absolutely, Charlene. And that's what we have to, I think, and that's what I'm saying here. We have to face the fact that the establishment people on both sides of the aisle don't care. Okay, another thing here, the Durham thing, right? He indicts Sussman, some significant, although never really heard of before, player in the whole Russiagate, the whole Trump-Russia hoax, right? He gets indicted for lying to the FBI. Okay, well, let's back up a second. The FBI knew he was lying to them. Why isn't Comey indicted, right? And I know, and God bless Devin Nunes. He was like, hopefully this is the beginning. Hopefully they're going to be conspiracy things, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, Devin, I got bad news for you. No. And I was reading a thing that said, maybe this means Hillary Clinton's going to go down because the indictment clearly laid out that this whole thing was manufactured by the Clinton administration. You think they didn't know that? You think they haven't known that for 5 years? Of course they know that. Do you think Hillary Clinton is worried? No, she's taking very poorly dressed, bad walks with Bill Clinton along the beach in her mansion up there and, you know, on the Eastern coast. Hillary Clinton isn't worried. None of them are worried. That's why we got to make them worried. You know, and that's what we try to do here. That's what Chuck and those Rebel Alliance guys are trying to do. That's what you guys do, as you say, Charlene, by facing the truth and saying the truth. We have Julie Henry on line two. Okay, she was having technical problems, so she called in. Perfect, because she's somebody we need to talk to. Hey, Julie, are you there? Thank you for calling
Hello.
In. Hello. I had technical problems too with Zoom. I mean, it dropped me completely, so I don't know what's going on. Julie Henry running for Republican candidate for Senate to challenge Michael Bennett. So first, welcome to the show. Appreciate your time. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about you and why you decided to run?
Well, I am military, and after I saw the election and realized that there was some shady stuff going on, I had it, because I knew that we would be in trouble if we did not have Trump back in office and had Biden in office. So as a military soldier and a small business owner, I had to step up.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if you're even aware of this because this is breaking news just today. So one of the things Trump did is say, hey, you know, the Bureau of Land Management, there's a lot of stuff that goes out on the West, that affects them. I have an idea. Let's move the Bureau of Land Management to the West. And he moved it to Grand Junction, which, of course, freaked out all the bureaucrats. And so today, I don't know if you know this, the Biden administration is moving it back to Washington, D.C. Thank you for nothing, John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett. If you had been there, I mean, I'll give this to Cory Gardner. He at least fought for that, right? I mean, this was a thing that was good for the West. It was good for Grand Junction. Would that be, exactly. I mean, how, would you have tried to stop that if you had been there instead of Michael Bennett?
Yes. And in fact, we are heading there next week.
Okay.
Up there. And we are going to hopefully change their minds. He's talking about having all these jobs for all these Americans. Well, he's taken all these jobs away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you, and I know we only have a couple of minutes with you, Julie, and I want to give you time to talk about your website a little bit. But obviously, you know, Michael Bennett, longtime establishment Democrat, Republicans in a statewide race, given the current state of things. So it's a difficult race. I've got to assume it's difficult financially to get fundraising. You've got an uphill battle there. What would you say to somebody like me who said something pessimistic like that to you?
Pardon, I couldn't catch the last part.
How would you respond to that? That you have an uphill battle?
Well, it is an uphill battle. But we have to sit and fight. I mean, if the American citizens and the Republicans do not fight for their seats, then we're not going to have a country to save anymore.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. In terms of, as I was saying earlier, my husband is on his way to Pueblo, and they're going to be at the state party central committee meeting talking about taking the Republican primary back to Republicans and not allowing people who aren't Republicans to vote in it, opting out of the open primary. Do you have a position on that?
I agree that we need to do that. However, what they've been talking about, too, is what we were informed anyway, that they wanted to take the primaries away completely.
No, that's not true at all.
Because I was like, that's good. Because we need to let the Republicans have a voice.
Okay, perfect.
We do need to take back our primaries.
All right. What about just, you know, if anything, because this is a totally open-ended question, that just in general, I know that you're going around, you're talking to a lot of people. What are you hearing from people and what are you saying to people that you're connecting with?
So a lot of the people that I've talked to said that after January 6th, that they had re-registered as independents because the Republican Party did not stand up and fight for the election fraud, you know, the election integrity, and they were really upset. So I told them, you know, we've got to get it figured out. We have to work together. We need to stand together, and we need to unite as a Republican Party.
Okay. Let me ask you then, final question for you. How can people, and we'll have to have you on again, because I know you had technical problems and I wish we'd had a little bit more time with you. How can people find out more about you? How can people help you out if they want to do so?
We are on WinRed for donations. And we also have our website. It's VoteJulieHenryForColorado.com. And we are also on Facebook and the Caucus Room.
Okie doke. All right. So what do you got on your agenda for, you said what kind of appearances and stuff, if people want to come see you, do you have going on in the next couple of days or so?
Well, tonight we are in Denver at Slater's 5050 for a meet and greet. So I can meet with the people out there, you know, of Colorado and find out what their concerns are and how we can help. So, and I am also working. I have teams on the ground in Kabul right now trying to get American citizens out.
Oh, wow.
And I have a team ready to go as soon as we can get flights in and out.
Okay. Real quick.
Hopefully we'll be in Grand Junction.
All right. All right, Julie Henry, thank you for your time. We'll get you back on when you have a little bit more time. And one thing two people should note, you don't spell your name like I do, right? Can you spell your name for folks?
No. J-U-L-I.
All right. JulieHenry.com. Okay. Thank you for your time. Good luck out there.
Thank you. And you have a great day.
All right. You too. And safe travels to you all. Thank you. Some of this from Charlene, great candidate. She understands. This is Leo. We were talking about the BLM, bring lots of money. Exactly. That's exactly what it is, Leo. Hey, listen. Oh, wait, before we go, one final thing in a Party Friday. I don't know if you guys follow the Babylon Bee on Twitter, but I do. They had, this was a tweet too. This is kind of funny. I thought the White House must continue to admit unvaccinated illegal immigrants to replace all of the American workers who just got fired for being unvaccinated. So there you go. There you go. Hey, that'll wrap it up for me and Chuck, who's on the way to Pueblo. We will have a complete update for you on Monday. You aren't going to want to miss that. In the meantime, love to have you check us out on Rumble. It's Chuck and Julie Show. You can always get us at BBS. That's bbsradio.com, Chuck and Julie Show. Or just go to chuckandjulie.com. We have links to everything there. Thank you to all of you guys on Zoom. Thank you to everybody who's been supporting us through our subscription program. And thanks to Thomas and the great guys at BBS. We will see you all on Monday.